Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to have you with us in worship today as we get to feel the Holy Spirit's fire of Pentecost descend upon us and get to feel the flame of the fire. Thank you all for joining us. A few announcements before we get started, and then I'm going to have our representatives who are at Synod speak a couple minutes about their experience and what they took away from that and what they learned. Announcements as we get ready to start. Special thanks to all who helped out with the garage sale and made it a very successful weekend. For Linda and Terry, I know you guys did a lot of ferrying back and forth with stuff, and I know many others did with setup, with food, and it was very appreciated, and it was a very good weekend. And we were able to donate that which we didn't sell to, Two Brothers? Is that what it's?
Two Veterans.
And give the rest of that to them, so it was good to pay it forward as well. Another announcement, I forgot to ask last week for a sign up for ushers and greeters. We have a sheet in the back, and we have one person signed up for the next 2 months, so I really need people to sign up for that. Paula, could you pass that? Is it back there? And just give them a stern look and really make sure people sign up for that so I can put that in the newsletter and make sure we have all our ushers and greeters ready to go. Please don't forget, we will have Brown Bag and Big Ideas on Monday at Tuskegee Park. We'll get a nice little warm day for that. That will be at noon. We need volunteers for concessions at Trumpet in the Land on Friday, July 6th. If you are interested, get in touch with Steve and Jackie, and they can help you with that. They moved the Moravians from Thursday to Friday nights this year because they've seen how well and how efficient we've done things. So they'd like us to do a busier night, so it's more opportunity for mission and service. And please don't forget, the CEC will not meet this Wednesday because that's the 4th of July. So they will meet next Wednesday on the 11th as the trustees are meeting. And please don't forget, VBS is coming right around the corner. So if you have any questions with that, let Carolyn, Angie, or Becky know as we start to organize that. And as part of our VBS programming around creation, we are going to have a Blessing of the Animals service on Thursday, July 19th in the front parking lot. That is open to everyone. So if you have a dog, a cat, a rabbit, a horse, a cow, I'm from Wisconsin, so I got to make it open to cows, and you'd like that animal blessed, it is also a time to reflect on those of you that have lost animals, and we'll have a time of remembrance for animals that have been important for our lives, and a great way to not only wrap up our VBS, but to open the door to something in our community. At this time, I'd like to ask if anybody else has any announcements. Linda. What was that?
Stern look,
bring it. Absolutely. Anything you can give can really make a difference with that. Any other announcements? Floyd?
I may have missed it, but the car party's coming up, and we have lists out there to be signed for workers and for donations of food.
Absolutely. And if you want to personally fan people, if it's going to be a hot day like this, we would definitely take your help with that as well. Any other announcements? Amy? Sure, absolutely. Any other announcements? Danielle?
I just wanted to extend a really heartfelt thanks from the hospital. We're finally able to hook up with representatives, and we donated the stuffed animal. And Holly, the veterinarian, Hillier, in the political representative that I spoke to, she said that you guys were all very precious people, and she was kind of pregnant, which was really emotional, and I got teary eyed. So she's very
thank you very much. And if you want to see a picture of Tira as she donated that to Cleveland Clinic, you can look online on the Facebook page, or we will have something in our newsletter and we'll show you the picture. And our stuffed animals did get to wonderful homes, so we're very excited. Any other announcements? All right, at this time I invite our Synod delegates to come up and share about 2 or 3 minutes about what their experience was like. You don't have to captivate the whole weekend, but just talk about what was important to you and encourage people to come up and ask you questions afterwards. It was a great week, a lot of fun, exhausting week, but a lot of good legislation for the future of our church was passed. And I'll let our delegate speak now, and I'll speak some during our message.
Yeah, I heard I have 2 to 3 minutes to recap 4.5 days. I don't think I can do it, but I'll try. I do talk fast. Maybe it'll work. First, I just want to say thank you for electing me. It was a really great experience. I'm glad I got to go. I understand now why people come back from Synod and say that was wonderful and everyone should do it. And so you should. As much as I would want to go back, I would love to see other people get to experience it too. And just in case, you know, anyone is not aware of how Synod works, because I wasn't completely before I went, there's a larger group, which is all of the delegates and clergy and visitors. And this is the Northern Province, so it's Ohio, west to California, east to Washington, D.C., and then north to capture most of Canada. And there were about, I think, 220-some delegates and about 50 visitors, some register as visitors. And out of those voting delegates, I think about two-thirds are lay people, so not ordained clergy. It's just us, you know, being the head of the church for 4 or 5 days. And proposals are submitted ahead of time. Anyone, any group, any of us could send a proposal, the reasons why we want something done, and then the action that we want to come out of that. And so those are all divided up among committees. The big group is divided into 13 committees, and everyone's on a committee, and we review those proposals and make changes if needed and decide which ones need to go back to the big group to be voted on. And I would like to say I was not on the identity, purpose, and organization or a church and society, but Jackie and Pastor Ben were, and those committees worked so hard. Late nights and skipping breaks, they had a lot of good stuff. I'll let them talk about those. But just, I know they won't say it, but they worked really hard, and you should be proud of them. My group, the Lay Leadership Committee, had 0 proposals to start with, so that sounds like we were kind of lazy, but we weren't. We talked about lay leadership in our churches and what works and what we need to do more of. One thing that came up was youth leadership. And compared to other churches, we do a lot. Our kids, you know, help lead worship. They help teach. They help with Vacation Bible School. And we talked about how important that was because they are our future trustees and elders and Sunday school teachers. And when we let them participate the way that they do, they learn those skills, and they become, you know, maybe even future pastors. As we know, here in this congregation, we've got a couple kids who grew up to be pastors. The proposals that we did come up with had to do with, one had to do with Crossroads, and I have a brochure I'll leave on the usher's table. These are classes at the seminary that are not necessarily for seminary students. They're for anyone, lay leadership, if you'd like to learn more about how to lead in any particular way, not necessarily to become a pastor, but to supplement the work that our pastors do, especially when we have part-time pastors or congregations without a pastor, either short or long-term. And we know what that's like. You know, we've been through some changes lately, and we know how lay leadership has to step up and do some things. So those, our proposal was to use that course as a study plan for someone wanting to become a lay minister, but also for congregations to put money in their budget to help someone who might just want to take one class or 2 classes just to be a leader in one area, not necessarily on a path to become a pastor. And then the last one had to do with district workshops. We have some coming up hopefully next year in our district. The Western District has one later this year. And just a way to train more people to offer those workshops. And they would have to do with identifying spiritual gifts, things like joint board training, conflict resolution, just some important things that our churches need, that our lay leaders need. So hopefully you'll see more of those workshops being offered soon. And then I guess just finally I want to say we're in really good hands. You know, when you see these committees and people from all over the country and Canada working together, the way that they did, it was really inspiring. There was a lot of very thoughtful and caring conversation, some very spirit-led decisions being made, and we elected a PEC that I think is gonna go forward and carry out the things that Synod wants them to do for the next 4 years, so we're in good shape.
Okay. I'd just like to add one thing to Carolyn's thing about Crossroads. Most of those classes are online, so don't think because she said about taking these classes you have to travel to Bethlehem. I did serve on the IPO, which stands for Identity, Purpose, and Organization. If you went to a pre-synod meeting, you learned that the church was talking about restructuring and changing the way our PEC and district boards work. Well, our committee did work hard, I will say that, because we did skip some breaks and stuff to stay on task, because we also had 12 other proposals to deal with. But the proposal failed because the majority of the people in that committee felt that the people in the pews had not heard enough about this reorganization. So what will be happening in the next year, mostly in 2019, we will be having either congregational meetings or regional meetings to discuss that and to explain it to the people in the congregation so they have a better understanding and see how they feel about it. It's definitely not saying that what they bring is brought to discuss is how it will go, because there could be a lot of changes from out throughout the province. But I'm just going to encourage you, when you see about those meetings and hear about them, to come to them and hear how the stuff is structured, how the province is structured and how they want to change it. It's not bad changes, I don't mean that, but just to understand how we work. Because unless you've been to a synod or you're involved in something else, you probably don't understand how the structure works in the province and the district. And if you have any questions, please feel free to come talk to me at any time. I'll explain to you what the proposal is and what some of the concerns were with it. Synod to me is a fun time also. I mean, we work hard during the day. We start at 8 in the morning. We don't finish till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. But there's also time for fellowship, to meet the people that are in these other areas. I have so many people from Canada and out in California and stuff that I've gotten to know over the years that we sit at afterwards and just have some fellowship time. And to me, that's just as important as the work we do, because we are a small denomination, and sometimes we feel like the people clear out in California or up in Canada don't have any clue who we are. But they do, and everybody is learning more and more of how the congregations work, and it's really a wonderful experience.
Well, my attendance at Synod was because I was on Larger Life Foundation, and I was there to represent the Larger Life Foundation and our church. Larger Life Foundation, we had a display, and we're trying to get members of the province to understand, know what we're about more. And I talked to many people. A lot of them we've helped in the past, just like with the discretionary grants we offer. We help build the stage with the accessibility. That additional funds came to this church through the Larger Life Foundation discretionary grants, and we also support many of the what we call core agencies of the church to the tune of $500,000 a year to keep different agencies running, like the camps and the pension fund and different other organizations, the Historic Society and so forth. Along with that, I guess I was elected for 4 more years, so I'll be able to do that for 4 more years. The other thing I wanted to mention was that OMMC also had a display board up right beside ours, and they showed the information from what's been happening in the Ohio Moravian churches, and that was well attended. People really enjoyed looking at those things and seeing what we do here. And also in legislation on the floor, they had, I think it was in Church and Society? Okay. They had legislation to encourage all the churches to work better together, and as that was passing, I'm thinking, well, Ohio is a good example, and we've shown how we do work together here. And Jackie tells us a lot when she comes back from her meetings that the other part of the district is really impressed on how Ohio churches work together and get along. I was also a non-voting member at Synod, but I was allowed to be on a committee, and the committee I was on was pension, clergy pension and benefits. And one of the main things that was developed in that was that we went from defined benefits, where, well, anybody that's worked at a factory knows that defined benefits means that X amount of dollars you're going to get for the rest, once you retire, you get for the rest of your life. And we went to defined contributions, which is similar to, it's called a 401 or a 403B, which is consistent with a 401K that a lot of people understand. In this way, the churches, the money, the churches and the pastors can put money into their own accounts, and as soon as the money goes in there, it belongs to the pastors, and they can develop their own pension from there. But that's not to say that what money has been paid to the pension fund is remaining there and will be frozen to pay defined benefits to those who have earned it. I think that's about it.
Let's give our delegates a round of applause and thank you for their wonderful service. And I really would like to impress upon the point that Carolyn made about 2/3 of our representation at Synod being lay people, and how impressive that is to see, because I go because I'm called to do. That's part of my job. That's what I get paid to do. But there's people who use 4 or 5 vacation days just to serve their church at Synod, and how impressed I am with that, because some of us who serve at Synod need a vacation from Synod after we're done serving. So it really does impress me to see all the volunteerism from our people and how well represented we are. At this time, I invite you to stand as we greet one another. Morning, Letitia. Morning, Angie. Morning, Charlotte. Happy to have your mom back. Morning. Morning, Nick. Morning, Jacob. Morning, Ryan. Somebody's tired. Morning, Tyler. Morning, Stacy. Morning, John. Morning, Joe. At this time, I invite you to remain standing as we join together in the watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Amen. You may be seated. rise for the call to worship. Sing to the Lord, you saints of God. Praise his holy name. May our hearts sing to you and not be silent.
Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Please remain standing as we sing together what brought us together. Together in the liturgy today, all the singing parts we're going to do together, so there'll be no separate choir at all. We'll all be singing them together.
By fire or flood, storm or earthquake, from violence, war, and bloodshed, from all the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil. By your holy incarnation and birth, by all the merits of your perfect life, by your cross and atoning death, by your triumphant resurrection and ascension, by your sending the Holy Spirit, by your coming again to your church on earth, or your being called home to you.
Help us, gracious Lord and God.
Guide and unify your holy church. Keep all bishops, ministers, and church servants sound in doctrine and holy in life. Restore all who have fallen away. Strengthen those who suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel. Send us faithful laborers into your harvest, that all may be gathered into your family. Direct all governments in the way of justice and peace, that your will may be known and done among the nations. Enable us to make wise use of the world you have entrusted to us. Send help to all those who are in danger, trouble, or anguish. Grant healing and the constant assurance of your love to the sick. Enable the dying to put their trust in you as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God.
Have mercy on your whole creation. Hasten the day the kingdom of the world
shall become your kingdom. Keep us in everlasting fellowship with the church triumphant in heaven, and let us rest together in your presence from those our labors.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God.
Turn our attention to presenting our tithes, offerings, and gifts to God. And one of the things that really reminded me during Provincial Synod that we are blessed people is that we spend so much time thinking about how few our resources are in the Moravian Church, how small we are. But when we gather as one large body, we're reminded of all the ministries, all the different people, all the different lives we touch because God has brought this church together. And now is the time to celebrate. And when we give out of a sense of abundance rather than depravity, we are truly giving as God calls us to do. Please rise.
Please rise.
Let us pray together. Gracious and loving Comforter, we ask that you equip us to see the world with eyes of faith. We are frustrated by many injustices in our world, but help us to trust that God will provide all that we need. Amen. You may be seated. We turn our hearts and minds and attention to prayer. Our first prayer concern is we want to give thanks for our Texas mission team, which arrived in Port Arthur either late last night or early this morning. We have 11 Moravians there looking forward to serving this week in the Texas heat, and it will just be a wonderful opportunity to serve. If you're actually interested in reading more about what they're doing, there was an article on our team in the Times Reporter on Saturday that you can also access online if you'd like to. We give thanks for our Northern Provincial Synod, for all the delegates, pastors, board members, and elected officials of our church. May they all carry out the legislation that was passed faithfully, and may they all do their best to honor God in every single action we take as a wider Moravian church. We also want to offer some resurrection and sympathy hope to the family of John Carruthers, a member of Dover First, who passed away. And then, as you can see, we have a white rose today, and that is in honor of the memory of Ted Canfield and his family. And just a reminder, we will have a funeral service to celebrate his life on Saturday, July 14th at the church at 11 a.m. And we continue to pray for Rick Swaldo as he continues to undergo treatments for his lymphoma. We give thanks for the 4th of July, for our country's independence, and for all who have sacrificed on our behalf, and for all those who are serving our country currently and cannot be with their families. And we also give thanks to a wonderful blessing. We have new grandparents for the, fourth time? All right, fourth time. Denny and Paula and Nicole had little baby Willow Ray on Wednesday, and we celebrate with Nicole and Billy as they celebrate the welcome of Willow, and just what a presence she will be in that family. And we pray for Winnie as she gets to celebrate being a big sister for the first time and all the fun transitions that go with this. But we celebrate with the gift of new life today. Let us take some time in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that you are doing in this world, for all the signs of new life and joy and compassion that we see. We are thankful, and we ask that you help us to live into that, to give into that, and to share with all the people we have. And gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, friendship, those who are suffering from the loss of people. Gracious God, help these people to see that they are never alone, but your hand will guide us, will strengthen us, and renew us whenever we need it. And gracious God, we ask for those who are struggling in the heat right now, who do not have an air-conditioned or safe place to go to, that you keep them protected and cool, and help us all to be safe and smart. And gracious God, we give you thanks for the Northern Provincial Synod that happened, for you calling all the leaders of our church together to carry out your ministry. And help us to remember that when we get lost, when we get weary, to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, for in those eyes we can do anything. Because God is in Christ, you are the one to heal our faith, to make us whole, and remind us that faith is all we need to serve God. In your name we pray. Amen. We turn our attention to Scripture today, and we hear from the Old Testament passage of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 33. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. A reading of the gospel today comes from the 5th chapter of Mark, verses 21 to 43. A girl restored to life and a woman healed. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came in, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there is a woman who had been suffering hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, and she had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to them, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement, strictly ordered that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's moment.
Good morning. Come on up.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Wide awake? So I want to ask you guys, we got a holiday coming up. Can anybody tell me what it is? Rylan? That's okay. Nick, the 4th of July. How do we celebrate the 4th of July? Well, may the force be with you. There we go. There's a true Moravian right there. Aubrey, what do we do? Do we do fireworks? Do we celebrate with fireworks and sprinklers and things like that? And yeah, we do. It's a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. Wynn, what were you going to say? You like the fireworks? Yeah, fireworks can be a lot of fun. So why we celebrate the 4th of July as Americans is because it's a day we get independence. We got independence from Great Britain. And what that means when you're independent is you get to make decisions because you have something called freedom. So I'm going to give you guys the freedom to make your own decisions right now. So I'm going to give you a choice, and you can run to one side or you can run to the other side. So if you had the freedom to choose between these two foods, which would you choose? Would you run to the pizza side or would you run to the broccoli side? What side are you running to? Pizza on this side, broccoli on that side. That seems like a pretty firm decision. There we go. I could have thrown you for a loop and said broccoli pizza, but I did not. So if you had to choose between doing your homework all night or playing video games all night, what would you choose? Tyler would do his homework all night. Are you sure? All right, all right. Parents, do you have pictures of this? Do you have... All right, if you had to choose between watching the Cleveland Browns or the Green Bay Packers, one of the best football teams in the world, who would you choose? Cleveland Browns on this side, Green Bay Packers. Conversion has already happened as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's Sunday morning. You have to choose. Are you going to go to church or are you going to sleep in another hour? Are you going to church or are you sleeping in? Hey, honesty is a key trait. Once again, you can take a picture of that, parents. All right, here's another choice. Would you help a friend in need, or would you rather go swimming with somebody? Would you help somebody if they really needed help, or would you rather go swimming? You'd go swimming? I'd probably, some of us would go swimming. We're being honest here, hey? All right, here's the last one. Here's a tough one. Would you save up money for a bicycle, and would you get it as soon as possible? Or you could get a bicycle 3 months later because you gave some of your money that you were saving up to important charities that help little kids and help people who don't have food and money. So if you would take your bike as soon as you could, or you would help other people and get your bike a little later, what would you choose? You'd get your bike as soon as possible? Okay. That's all right. Wynn wants her bike. That's fair. All right, let's get back together in a circle. Oh, we don't have to do our standing circle. Sorry, we're going to... Okay, we can do that. But before we pray, guys, I want you to understand that as you did this, the decisions you made got harder, right? You had to make sacrifices to help people, to be a good Christian, to serve people. And I want you to remember that sometimes we have to sacrifice. Sometimes we have to wait a few months to get a bicycle because we committed to helping other people. Guess what? Your parents do that all the time. By helping out the church, sometimes they got to wait a few months before they get that nice car that they had planned. You know, with the TV on the back that will keep you quiet on the long road trips. And sometimes we all make those sacrifices. And I want you to remember that. Just because you have to sacrifice to follow Jesus doesn't make it any less. In fact, it makes it more important because it shows you're willing to go the extra mile to serve Jesus. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these kids. For the wonderful influence and the character and the leadership that they bring to our church. And we ask that you help us to follow in their compassionate footsteps. Because sometimes we make the wrong choices with our freedom. But you, God, forgive us no matter what. And you will guide us and lead us in the direction we need, which is service to you and service to our neighbor. In your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a snack. Everybody got one? At this time, you may remain seated as we join together to sing "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." ready to pray before the message, one person I forgot to mention in prayer concerns, I ask that you keep in prayer, is Harley Hunt. She's been feeling a little under the weather today. Nothing too serious, but just ask that you keep her in prayer as a lot of us get impacted by this heat and really start to feel the exhaust and things like that. So let's take a moment in prayer. God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your message today, that you inspire us with wisdom and really inspire us to serve you in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. So I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I'm leading a Southern revival today. We're just feeling the power of God's love for us today. But why I want to start our message off today is just with a big spirit of gratitude. Just thanks to Carolyn Menapace, Jackie Pasquinelli, and Steve Pasquinelli, and all of our delegates across the Moravian Church who had the opportunity to represent our church at Provincial Synod. And this really is the highest body of our church when they come together. So for 3 or 4 days, we really take that seriously and look to how we can really live in to that identity that Christ has set before us. I personally had a great time at Synod, and I came away re-energized about the future of the Moravian Church and the wider Christian Church. For me, it was another reminder of how relational we are as people of God. 4 years ago, I came to the Provincial Synod as a visitor, as a student pastor from Lake Mills, Moravian, and I was very wide-eyed trying to figure out what all these people were doing in one spot in Bethlehem. And now, 4 years later, when I returned, it felt like I was in the midst of a rather large family reunion because everybody knew everybody there. And that's one of the gifts we have as the Moravian Church. In fact, when I went 4 years ago, I posted a picture on Facebook bragging about how there were 300 Moravians filling up the gym in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and how proud I was of that. So I saw one of my friends who is Jehovah's Witness who mentioned on that same day they were having a regional conference meeting, and it was happening at Miller Park in Milwaukee with 40,000 people there. And I learned to stop bragging about that. but it was just a reminder of how relational we are, how close-knit we are. And if all of us, if we judge the health of our congregations right now based on finances and directory statistics, all churches across the board are struggling. However, today we were given a great parable to remind us our health as children of God has little to do with bank statements or the numbers of people in pews. As we hear Jesus tell a woman who for 12 years dealt with the sickness of hemorrhages. 12 years. Imagine that. She found no cure. And it was then and only then, going through some of the worst possible challenges that life has to offer, that she realized all she needed was to be cured by Christ. And it was Jesus who tells her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Because that's what we need to remember when we start focusing on some of the negative things happening in the life of the church. We need to remember that. Fall back on that. Faith in Jesus is all we need right now. We had a great speaker who spoke at our Provincial Synod. Her name is the Reverend Susan Ninabar, and she's a district superintendent, in the United Methodist Church. And she spoke and told the story about her first week in office as a superintendent in the United Methodist Church, and said she got a call to go to this little church in Iowa. And the pastor called her to let her know that this congregation was struggling. They were down to 8 people in worship. They had $37 in their checking account. $37 in their checking account. And they called Susan and said, "We need you. We need to talk about the serious steps we need to take in our future." And when Susan came to this town, she was so surprised by how difficult things were. In fact, the sign that they had up above the village that you entered to go to this little town, it had crumbled in half. So it said literally, "You are going to the meth church." That's how much they were struggling. The sign had flipped that much. So you talk about people who are having challenges. And she went to this meeting kind of with the assumption that they were going to close this church down, that they were going to move on to better things. But any of you who've been to a small church, you know that you've got one or two players who will put their feet down and tell you like it is. And this church was no exception. They had an old lady who came up and really, if she was going to go down, she was going to go down swinging. That was her mentality. And she was going to fight to keep her little church growing. And so they decided not to close the church, but they brought in somebody to speak to them, to help guide them through this decision-making process. And one of the things they found out was that with eight people, you know, it's hard to consider your strengths and weaknesses, but even with eight people, you have strength. And like every other church in the planet, they found that their gift was food. They were really gifted in the hospitality of food. In fact, one of their eight members had an organic farm. So when they cooked, when they did a meal for people, it wasn't just the stuff that we enjoy that put the calories on, but it was good. It was healthy. It was wholesome food. And the person that spoke to that congregation asked them one thing. They asked, if you switched your ministries from being transactional to outreach, what would change? So in other words, if you used all the gifts you had and you didn't use them to raise money for this fund or that fund, but you used them to serve your community, how would that change how you operate? And this church had nothing to lose. So they decided, they started with a community meal. And for a month they did this. And one or two people, it would be well attended, and then one or two people would start coming in the sanctuary. And then another two, 3 or 4 months later. And before you know it, in a year or two, they were up to 40 people. And today they are a healthy and happy ministry because they changed how they saw themselves. They didn't look at the people that were missing in the pews. They looked what they had and saw, how can we serve with what we have? And they grew 5 times in number because of that. And this provincial synod, as we gathered, I give a lot of thanks because we passed a lot of legislation that none of the four of us could cover in one worship service today. But I want to share with you a few highlights. One of the ones that I'm really excited about is we created a day of service in both the northern and the southern province that will happen in 2019. All Moravian churches will participate in this. So if you have any ideas about what we as Shenbrunn Moravian Church could do for our day of service, please let me or your elders or trustees know, because I think that's going to be a great idea. We officially became in full communion with the United Methodist Church. So we are in full communion with the United Methodist, the Methodist, the Presbyterians, the ELCA, and the Episcopalian Church. So we're not as strange as people think we are. We're just a little smaller. And then I had the privilege of serving on the Church and Society Committee. And people kind of take a deep breath when they hear that, because our job was wrestling with all the social issues that we're dealing with as a country and a world. And I learned something, that if you have a conversation about social issues that doesn't happen on Facebook, it goes a lot better without all the exclamation points and the smiley faces. And some of the legislation we passed is we praise responsible gun owners while at the same time calling on society to stop using violence as a problem-solving method. We called for children who had been separated from their parents to be reunited with their families. We affirmed the equal rights of people with all gender identities, and we spoke out against worldwide violence against women. And I'm proud of how my committee worked and modeled how Christians of many different opinions can come together and build a consensus on controversial issues, because we had people on all spectrums on that side. But if you took the time to really listen to each other, to value people who had a different opinion on your own, you don't have to agree with them, but just value what they had to say, it's amazing how much you can accomplish. Because we can talk about these difficult issues without shouting or wagging fingers. And never doubt the power of compassionate listening. Because you know the old saying, you're not supposed to talk about religion or politics? Well, I'm on the Church and Society Committee, so for 4 days, that was kind of our job, to talk about religion and politics. And we survived that because we were compassionate. We were respectful, and we understood where people were coming from, even if we didn't always agree with them. And I give thanks a lot to Jackie's committee that worked on our IPO and considering our restructuring and looking at our future of that. As we continue to find really what we're searching for as Moravians is identity. How do we define how we do? How do we change our structure without losing that closeness of relationship? And those are questions we're going to wrestle with in the next 4 years. So if you see a meeting coming down the road talking about IPO, please don't roll your eyes or see that. I encourage you to attend that, because one of the biggest feedback measures we got is we didn't hear enough from people in the pews if they would like this. And your opinion really does matter quite a bit on this topic. And your input is going to impact how the future of our church looks. And then lastly, I would say we spent a lot of time discussing our identity, sharing little bits of our story with each other, what brought us here. And one of the great speakers who talked about during our stay there was he talked about knowing your why. You can know your how, you can know your what, but you got to know why God is sending you, why God is putting you in a place. Why did God put Shenbrunn Moravian Church here? Because if we can answer that question, we can carry out so many ministries, because we'll know our purpose. Purpose is always connecting to knowing why. And that allows us to share the good news of Jesus Christ happily and faithfully. And as we look to the future of our church, we are called to be active in our faith walk. Just like the woman in our parable today, we have to be the one willing to reach out and touch Jesus and let Jesus touch us. And I want you to carry that. That's the biggest thing I want you to carry about from this gospel message today, that you have to take action, that you have to be the one willing to reach out. And one of my good friends, Justin Robach, who was just elected the president of our Board of World Mission, he ended our worship by reminding us that our mission and our service to God is just like the seventh grade dance. How many of you remember your seventh grade dance? Who went to their seventh grade dance, first of all? Does anybody remember how awkward and kind of crazy that was? Where you had, it was, Justin called it an accidental choir system, because you had all your boys on this side, and you had all your girls on this side, and there was this whole big sea of room to dance that nobody was crossing. And Justin talked about, you know, he was an extrovert in the Midwest, so that means he didn't look at his own toes, he looked at the toes of the other people across from him. That's what being extroverted was to him. And he talked about for a half hour, people would stay locked at this dance. The boys would not cross their side, the girls would not cross their side. It was as if they had a neutral agreement not to go into no man's land. And Justin talked about somebody in his class having the courage to finally be the one to step out, to take the chance. And he said that when he did it, he kind of did it very nonchalantly and just said, "Would you like to dance with me?" And he said it to the whole group of girls, hoping at least one would say yes to him. And sometimes that was what we got to do. Sometimes we got to be willing to step out and take that chance. But when we do that in our faith, when we do that in our mission, when we do that in our service, God will never say no to us. God will allow us to be equipped. But we got to be the one willing to take that step, because God will never do it for us. He loves us too much not to give us the opportunity to equip ourselves to serve God. So I encourage you, as you go out in your world this week, remember that. Somebody always has to be courageous enough to take the first step, to touch Jesus and let Jesus touch them. For when we do that, beautiful things can happen, because it's all about faith and trusting in God. And I hope when you're scared, when you feel stuck in your group, you remember that. The courage to take that first step is always within you. And trust that God will lead you exactly where you need to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the story that we heard today about the faith of the woman who had the courage to walk out and encounter you. Help us when we feel lost, when we feel clung to our group in society, when we feel like we're lost in a big group of sheep. Help us to remember that we can step out for you and that you will carry us, you will guide us, and you will stretch us exactly where we need to be. And we give you thanks for that. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I ask you to stand as we join together to sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.